One of the parts of sharing together in fellowship is to pray for one another, and Sam's going to come out wherever Sam is. And yesterday, Lois and I were at a wedding, and Lois's sister was taken unwell, and it's great just to be able to communicate with people and get them praying. And we want to make that available in all sorts of ways. There's the prayer card that we produce every month, but we also want other ways in which we can communicate and take the opportunity to pray.
Hello? Yes? Okay. I asked Trev if I could just say a few things today about prayer. I'm very passionate about prayer in this church, mainly because I'm not very good at it, and I want to be better at it. And I just thought I wanted to share what I have found in the last few years. And 5 years ago, Ewan was diagnosed with his condition, and Trev and Lois had not been here very long. And pretty much the first thing they did was organise some 24/7 prayer for a few weeks. And I was just blown away by that. I'd never heard of 24/7 prayer before, and it just meant so much to us as for that. But I was also very conscious that I wasn't doing the same for other people, and I wanted to. I sort of tried, but I just forgot all the time, and I just struggled to I've got time, I just forget. So what some of the things that were started, like the prayer breakfasts and prayer meetings, I found that a really useful way to book time in my diary to commit, and then I would go and I would at least be spending that hour in prayer with other people, and I just found it so valuable. One of the things that happened when Ewan was first diagnosed was I sort of stood back from a lot of the things I was doing in church. I stopped going to Connect Group, and I was on the Beacon committee, and those things I just hadn't got the time, I had to step back from. So I felt very unconnected to what was going on in the rest of the church. I was just really, we were quite insular at the time, we had so much going on, and I just didn't really know about what everybody else was going through and what their issues were. And going to a prayer meeting, I just felt I got to know what was going on, not in the sense that I wanted to know everything about what was going on, but just about being more connected and more committed to praying about this church and the people in it. So I just sort of like you to consider those prayer meetings. If you don't already go, they're just amazing. And there is a prayer card, which has, not prayer card, a leaflet with all the prayer meeting dates for the year. I'm guessing there'll be another one produced for next year. So the dates are all there. There's something at least once a week, in fact twice a week, because there's the Wednesday mornings every week. And also just recently, Una has set up a new group that I go to as well, which is about praying for partners who aren't Christians. So there's always, if you can't go to one of these groups, you know, why not start a new one? I think that's what it's all about. And then there's the prayer room. And this is another one where I just found, when we had the Thy Kingdom Come initiative back in May, and being able to go to a space where I wasn't distracted, I'd committed, I put it in my diary, and I went. And I just found that I was able to concentrate and pray on my own, which I can't really do very well at home. And so now that is a permanent prayer space available 24/7, and we've got a booking system for that that is really easy to use, and I'll go through that in a minute on the screen. And then just recently, we've also set up a Facebook group, which is for us all to use, for those on Facebook, but also if you're not on Facebook, you can ask somebody else to ask for prayer on that group for yourself. So I'll just, if I could, yes. So this is about the prayer room booking. So the URL at the top, it's also on the notice sheet. Ignore the bit that says create a login. You don't need to do that. You can navigate to the week you need, and you can see the dates at the bottom. So if you go to the next slide, you just click on a space, a square where you want to book. You fill in your name and your email address, and you click book. Very simple so far. Next slide. You get a little thing to say, I'm not a robot. You click that and proceed. Just if you do this on your mobile phone, you might not see that. You might have to scroll to find that box. And that's it. You get a booking confirmation email. You also get a reminder, I think, a day before. And it's that easy. But if you don't find it easy, come and speak to me and I can show you. Okay. The next one is the Facebook group. This is a private group, okay? It is only for members of our church family. And when you, if you request to join it, there is a sort of approval process just so we can make sure that it is just for us. So if you go back a slide, yeah, so you can see on the left-hand side, this is our public Facebook page. If you go down and click on groups, you'll see there's two groups there, actually. There is another private group, which if you're not a member of, please join. But the prayer at St. Augustine's, that is the one I'm talking about. And a few of us have just been sort of trialing it. When you request to join, somebody will approve that request, and then you can post a prayer request. And it's that simple, and other people on that group will see that, and they can pray for you. And I just think that's a wonderful opportunity for us all to support one another. There are some guidelines on there. You know, there's things about confidentiality. But see, it is just for within our church community. But also, it's possible to post something anonymously, so you can ask Gail or Nigel or Julie or Dan or Helen or me, and we will post something which doesn't identify you or the person you want to pray for. So I just hope that if you're like me and you're not very good at getting round to prayer, then these things are all there to sort of just help keep you motivated and committed, because prayer works.
Thank you, Sam. Father, as we come before you this morning, we thank you that our hearts are open to you, that you know the desires of our hearts. But Lord, we know the desire of your heart, which is to give us life in all its fullness, that you come to give us abundant life. And Father, we have just sung that it's your breath in our lungs that enables us to praise you. We thank you, Lord, that all things come from you, including our life. And we pray now you would breathe into us afresh your holy, life-giving spirit, that you would inspire us to worship you and to perfectly love you and to worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord, as we worship you today. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Please sit or kneel as we come to our confession. Today, as we think about our giving to God, and we were singing earlier as we were preparing for the service that psalm that we will sing later, Psalm 23, and I will trust in you alone. Yet so often our trust is in who we are and what we have, what we are able to do. Let's just take a moment to bring our own self-reliance before God and confess that to him. only is that our self-reliance, but our failure to share what we have with others. Lord, we confess to you our lack of care for the world you have given us. Lord, have mercy. We confess to you our selfishness in not sharing the earth's bounty fairly. Christ, have mercy. We confess to you our failure to protect resources for others. Lord, have mercy. So may Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We have a reading from Jeremiah.
Our reading is taken from Jeremiah chapter 32. Verses 36b to 41, and can be found on page 768 of the Old Testament in your Pew Bible. Now listen to what else I have to say. I'm going to gather the people from all the countries where I've scattered them in my anger and fury, and I'm going to bring them back to this place and let them live here in safety. Then they will be my people, and I will be their God. I will give them a single purpose in life: to honour me for all time, for their own good and the good of their descendants. I will make an eternal covenant with them. I will never stop doing good things for them, and I will make them fear me with all their heart, so that they will never turn away from me. I will take pleasure in doing good things for them, and I will establish them permanently in this land. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Gail, if you want to make your way forward, if you've remembered that you were going to share. This has been a really interesting few days for me. Sam came up and said that she would love to share about prayer. And Gail, you knew that we were talking about giving, and you said that you wanted to share as well. So. And there's more sharing to come.
So when we were thinking about God's blessings to us, one of the ways that God has always and continues to bless my family, not just me, but my family, my husband, my children, is through his financial provision for us. He gives us money. The first time it happened, I didn't really understand what was going on. I was grateful, I was thankful, but I hadn't joined up the dots. Every single time it's happened since, I have been nothing but amazed and more joyful than actually I can express in English. God knows how my heart feels, but I can't put that into words. And I think I just wanted to give you a couple of those examples, probably the biggest ones. I know that Bernie's shared a really small one about finding a fleece for her daughter, and Adele shared an example about God's great blessings in money with her son's car accident. But it happens all the time. About 2 years ago, my husband's, Tony's teaching contract came to an end about 6 weeks early. It hardly ever happens. Teaching's quite reliable. Your contract ends on the 31st of August. His came to an end in the middle of July, which left us for 6 weeks with no income. We had Zoe. I'd been working part-time. We had exhausted our savings so that I could work part-time and stay at home with Zoe for as long as possible. So 6 weeks of no income was a real problem for us. We prayed, and then we prayed some more. And it was that kind of desperate prayer that actually there's not a lot that we could do about it. I was working, I couldn't work anymore, he couldn't work. And out of prayer, God blessed us, not just with the money that we needed, the money for the mortgage, the money for the bills, but with more money than we would normally have had, had Tony been working. We had about 50% more money than we needed. And that's how much God loves us. He doesn't just love us how much we need. He loves us just more than that. The second time, I'd been due to start a university course. Savings had still been eliminated. Come to the end of our financial ability. My university grant was going to up our income because I would essentially be doing a full-time degree and a part-time job. The degree fell through, which meant the student finance fell through. So again, big, big shortfall. I have to be honest, I didn't want to go to work full-time. I wanted to carry on being at home with my children. So we did the human thing. We looked at our budget. We did what I'm trained to do. We looked at our incomings. We looked at our expenditure. We looked at what we could trim on our expenditure. And it came to me that if I cut down the amount of hours that Zoe was spending at preschool, and if I cut our giving to the church, I could stay at home. I could afford to only work 3 days. I could be at home with my daughter for 2 days, and ends would meet. Massive temptation, because I love Zoe to death and I love spending time with her, and my job is stressful and difficult. But I prayed, and I prayed, and I read my Bible, and I prayed some more. And I remembered all of the other times that God had poured out his blessing, not just what I needed, but more than I needed. And I remembered everything else that God has done for me. I have a loving husband. I have 2 beautiful children. I am healthy. I have a job that I love. And I thought, it says in the Bible, put me to the test in this one area. And so we did. We increased our giving, and I kept the hours. And a job came, more hours in the job that I love, more hours than I needed, more money than I needed, and God provides. If we step out in faith, if we adhere to what it says in the Bible, he will bless us, and he has, and he continues to do it. And that's just what I wanted to share today.
If you're able, would you stand? Just a small section from Luke's Gospel before we have Mike come and share with us. A few weeks ago, Mike came to me and said that he sensed that God had been speaking to him and that he felt that it was a message for the church. And we prayed about it and agreed that Mike should share what God has laid on his heart as well. So no sermon from me today, just people sharing what God has laid on their hearts today. But before we do that, just a few words from Luke's Gospel and chapter 8. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside, wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So let's hear what God's word is to us today from Mike.
Thank you. May we pray. May the words that I speak be your words, and may our hearts be open to receive them, in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. You look so different from the front. You really do. I've been sitting at the back for 5 years, looking at the back of your head, especially you guys down the front here. You look amazing. You should come down here and have a look. It's terrific. So recently, as we've heard, we've been talking about in the Connect groups and other aspects in church to discuss the question of church finances. And God's been speaking to me about it. And what I tend to do is, if he wakes me up at 4 a.m, I've learned the hard way, just get up, get in front of the computer, start putting down things. Sometimes it leads to a talk, sometimes it doesn't, but it has today. And thank you, Trevor, for giving me the opportunity to share it. So church finances, paying our bills, meeting our quota, tithing and giving are very important questions. And I'll get into them in just a moment. But before I do, this talk is not entirely about money. And so I want to take a step back and establish two very important key points. So let me ask this. Have you ever contemplated the big question? The question is, why are we here in this place, St. Augustine's, or the bigger question still, on earth? Why are we here in this church then? Is it to evangelize the nations, to fulfill our mission statement? Is it to carry out the Great Commission? These are all very laudable and worthwhile occupations. But that's not why we're here. As I usually do when I have a question that I need to get more clarification on, I turn to the Word. And in the Authorized King James Version, we read in Revelation 4:11 these important prophetic words from John to the universal church to come. In other words, us. It says this: Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. We're here then because it pleases God. It gave him pleasure to create us. So we're here primarily for the pleasure it brings to him. That's a bit revolutionary, isn't it? We always thought it was about us, wasn't it? But it's not. Have you ever left church, not this church obviously, but a church, and overheard someone say, well, I didn't get much out of that? That's not really the right point, is it? We should be saying, I wonder what God got out of our worship today. So it's not about us. In today's reading, we heard Margaret speak those words from Jeremiah. He said, I will never stop doing good things for them. I will take pleasure in doing good things for them. In some versions, it uses the word rejoice. God rejoices, takes pleasure in doing good things for us. And we're here because of him, to bring pleasure back to him, to commune with him and to worship him. God loves us. According to Zephaniah 3:17, it says, he dances over us with singing. Isn't that an amazing thought? Have you ever felt unloved or unworthy? Maybe you just don't feel you can come forward for prayer when it's offered because you just don't feel good enough, and you probably think, if God only knew what I was really like, he could never work in me. Well, I've got news for you. God knows what you're really like, and he still loves you. He's still passionate about you. Doesn't matter what you look like, what you earn, where you live, what you've done, because when he looks at you, he sees you as white robe, as clean. He sees Jesus in you. That's good news, isn't it? I think that's worth a bit of an amen or an hallelujah or something. Thank you. So, first and foremost, then, it's in response to God's love that we're called here. And as a consequence, then, along a certain pathway or journey, which includes many things. It can include to meet together, as we're doing today, to worship God, to pray, to sing praises to him, to love one another, and also to equip the church, which is what we have to do, to carry out the Great Commission. Now, we all know the Great Commission, to go and make disciples of all nations, it says. You notice it doesn't say go and make converts. It says make disciples. So what's a disciple? Let's turn to the word again. In John 8:32, it says this. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So to be a disciple indeed, or a true disciple, Jesus said that you have to continue in the word, and you shall then know the truth. So you might be sitting there thinking, so what's all this got to do with finances, giving and tithing? Well, I'll tell you, it's those 2 points I said I wanted to establish at the beginning of the talk, before I talk about money. Firstly, number one then, it's all to do with love. And it's the beginning and end of this talk. God's love to us, and in response, our love back to God and his people. And secondly, it's to do with the authority of God's word, and the imperative that we understand what's in it, that we remain in it, and that we understand and do what it says on a variety of different subjects. Trevor just read that passage from Luke 8:21, and it makes that point very well. It says this, Jesus said to them all, my mother and brothers are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Now today, you've already heard the word of God, not just from me, but you've heard it, and you will hear more of the word of God. And it's really up to you whether you obey it or not. But anyway, more of that in a minute. So this morning, we're looking then at what the word says on finances, which includes stewardship, tithing and giving. So all giving should first and foremost be an act of worship and thanksgiving, and an acknowledgement that it's God who gives us the power to get wealth. That's Deuteronomy 8:18. Giving is also an act of faith. If you were here last week, you'd have heard Ian say that. He said we need to practice faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Are you picking a theme up here? The word is really a theme that underscores this talk. It underscores most of our Christian life. John 1, the word, was in the beginning, the word became flesh. It's no surprise to know that the only offensive weapon in the armor of God is the word. It's the sword of the spirit. So the word is and should be fundamental to everything that we do, hearing, listening, receiving and obeying the word. So, what have I said here? If there was no God and his promises were not true, it might be considered foolish to give our money away, or contemplate giving our money away, as hopefully we are contemplating it this morning. That might be foolish if there was no God. But our resources would diminish and not increase. But there is a God who honours faith, and we might actually find our resources actually increase by giving. I think you just heard Gail say that. What do I mean by saying we can increase by giving away? Proverbs 3:9 gives us the clue. It says this, honour the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. That word first fruits basically reflects the tithe. It's what's always been acknowledged as the first 10%. We are encouraged to give God back the first 10%, the first bit, not the last bit of what's left. That's how we should be giving. And if we honour the Lord with the first fruits, he will overflow our barns, if we have barns, or vats with new wine. But you know what I mean. But let me just state this clearly and unequivocally. We don't give to receive. We really don't. We give in love. But God is true to his word. His promises are always yes and amen. Trevor said that 2 weeks ago. That's good, isn't it? You like that. Yes and amen, God's promises. And if he says that he'll bless us if we honour him with the first fruits, then we should believe him. I see no reason why we shouldn't believe him on this issue. God can be trusted. Can you trust him? We think we talked about singing about that today. We should trust God. So, one of the key principles of operating successfully in God's kingdom is the principle of seed sowing. And I like to think of the Bible not just as a book of words, but as a bag of seed, where you go to the scriptures for a particular issue you're worried about or praying into. You get word seed, you plant it in your heart, and in due time a harvest will come. At the beginning of Luke 8:1, it says the seed is the word of God. Now, we live in East Anglia, which is traditionally a farming community. We probably, better than most people in the country, should understand about the miracle of sowing and reaping. The farmer sows his best seed, and then months later, a harvest comes up, and that's what happens. But what would happen if the farmer said, "Oh, this seed's expensive. I'll only sow a little bit, but I'll keep the rest in a bag." What sort of harvest would he get? A pretty poor one, I think. But you know, that's what some Christians do. God has supplied them with a huge bag of seed. But for them to do any good, it has to be sown. What's in your seed store, in your bag? Do you remember the story in 2 Kings about Elisha and the widow with the, you know, she's running, she was broke, she had nothing. He said, "What have you got?" She had this little phial of oil. And he said, "Give me that. That's all I've got." But she gave it to him, and God multiplied it hundreds of times to make her financial situation redeemable. So God can take our seed and multiply it 30, 60, or 100-fold, but only if we sow it. Any mathematicians here? You're a bit of a math man, aren't you? Just a little sum for you. It's not a trick. What's 100 times nothing? No, it's not. Thank you. You've been giving her too much housekeeping, Ian. She thinks 100 times nothing is 100, so well done, mate. Anyway, nothing is the answer. If you sow nothing, and God cannot multiply nothing, but you give what you can, or you know, you give those first fruits, he will multiply it. And the reading from Luke 8 that we would have had today, I think it's interesting, there's the beginning of that. "Be careful," then it says, "for those who have something will be given more, but whoever has nothing will have taken away from them even the little they think they have." In other words, God will give more to the sowers, but not to the hoarders. In fact, he'll take it from the hoarders and he'll give it to the sowers. That's a bit of a eye-opener, isn't it? And it says this in 2 Corinthians 9, "And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it's written, now he who supplies seed to the sower," so he's already supplied it to you in the first place, "and food," he's already given you your provision, "will supply and," listen to this word, "and increase your store of seed. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." It's wise to give generously. However, if you don't tithe and you don't give, that's fine. God still loves you. You won't have a crop to harvest if you eat all your seed, but God will still love you. Today we have a gift day. And on Wednesday, most of us, the church members and those on the electoral roll, will have received the quite eye-watering report from the wardens on the state of our finances, including substantial debts. I believe there was £145,000 per annum to run this place, just to stay still. I did a quick mental arithmetic. I don't know how many people give. I really don't, but I just assumed 100 because it's a nice, easy figure to divide. You divide the 145,000 it costs to run this place by 100 people. That's 1,450 per person divide that by 52, that's £27.88 a week. That's just to stand still. That's not to get into all the other things that we're encouraged to do. In September, we were encouraged to pray about associate ministers, additional clergy, community engagement, church planting, etc., etc. Well, if you think that's a good stuff to get into, we can only do it if the resources are there and the funds are released. Getting to the end, if God's been speaking to you today, why don't you ask him to show what you can give into his work in this place? If you don't feel like giving, don't worry, keep your money. God loves a cheerful giver. God is more interested in your heart than your money. For where your heart is, there your treasure is also, Matthew 6. Have you ever wondered why God said he'll bless you abundantly? Definition of abundantly is copiously, plentifully, amply, profusely, exuberantly. That's the way God wants to bless you. And Gail, you were talking about it. It's called the blessing, Gail. Would you agree? It's what we who know this secret, if you want to call it that. It's not a secret because it's been well talked about. But it's called the blessing. It's what follows people who have bought into God's economy. And the reason God wants to bless us abundantly is so that you'll have more than you need. Why does God want you to have more than you need? Yeah, but what are you going to do with it? He loves us, of course, but he wants you to have more than you need so you can bless others. Exactly. It's so it goes out. Because he can trust you. He will give more to the people who he can trust because he knows you're not going to keep it all in your bag. You're going to share it. And that's really what it's all about. And finally, in Malachi, God says regarding the tithe, "Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it." Are you believing God for an abundant harvest? Then please think carefully about what to sow today, but only if you sow in love. Amen.
Gail is going to lead us in our prayer time with help.
So today, actually, I am going to lead you in your prayers, but you're going to be the ones doing the hard work of actually praying. I'm not doing it for you today, sorry. So what I'd like you to do is, those people who I spoke to this morning and who I contacted by email and who are willing to do this, could you stand up, please? Don't worry, I'm not picking on all of you. So the rest of you, what I'd like you to do is, I'd like you to get into small groups of three or four people with whom you are comfortable to pray somewhat out loud this morning, okay? If you don't know anybody, then these lovely, cheerful, standing up people will be happy to come and sit with you so that you're not praying by yourself, okay? If you just want to pray in a couple, that's fine, as long as it's men with men, women with women, or your husband stroke wife. So it won't come as any surprise, we're going to be praying around God's gifts today. I'm going to give you a series of instructions to pray about. When you have finished praying in your small groups, if you could not relapse into chatting, because otherwise I won't know you've finished. Okay, so just sit quietly once you've come to a natural end. So we're going to start by just praying for ourselves. I'd like you to really thank God for the gifts that he's given you, whether these are material gifts. I have a beautiful house, two beautiful children. Those are great gifts. I have natural gifts. I'm quite good at balancing the budget. I'm quite good at making chocolate brownies. And supernatural gifts. God has blessed me with the gift of speaking in the Spirit. He's blessed me with the gift of prayer. And for that, those are gifts that I also need to be thankful for. If you don't know what your gift is, perhaps you want to ask God to tell you. Okay? So, off you go. You can pray quietly, or you can pray and share within your group, but I want you to be giving thanks for the gifts that you have. Zoe, what are you thankful to God for?
Everything.
So, Father God, thank you for all these amazing gifts that you've bestowed upon us. Help us always to remember that every good thing that we have, it comes from you, and it is to be used for your glory. Amen. Next, and this is why I really wanted you in small groups of people with whom you're comfortable, I'd like you to share with each other the gift that you would like God to give you. Ideally, that would be a supernatural gift or a natural gift that you'd like God to amplify already. And it would be a gift that you would like to use for God. Are you a talented musician? Pray that God will help you to learn a new instrument or get better at the one that you've got. Are you a really awesome preacher? Pray that God will make you better. Would you like the gift of speaking in tongues or speaking in the Spirit? Would you like some of those gifts that God talks about in the Bible? We know that the Bible says, ask and you will receive. And he says it 6 times, so he really means it. He means that the gifts you want, he will give you. They're yours for the asking. All you have to do is ask. I'd really like it that you would share them out loud with each other and that you would quickly, briefly share them. And then in your group, take time praying for each other for those gifts. Not just this morning, please. I'd really, really like you to keep on praying for each other, for the people in your group, and for the gifts that those people have asked for. Off you go. It may be that when you're praying for somebody else, God gifts you a word or an image for that person. If it's an encouraging image or picture, if it's in line with Scripture, then share it with them. Okay? Loving and holy Father God, you know our hearts. You know the gifts that we truly long for. We know that you love us and that you really, really want to pour out your blessings upon us, and we ask that you do this. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we've prayed for ourselves, we've prayed for each other, and now we're going to pray for this church here at this time and in this place. I'm going to give you some prayer prompts, but I'd also like you to be open. And if God says, hang on a minute, that's not what I want you to pray for, I'd like you to be open for that and to pray for what you think God is asking you to pray for. I would like as many of you as possible to please pray for Trevor and Lois. God is moving in them, and we know that when we step out and do God's work, actually, we come under attack. I'd like you to pray for their protection, and I would like you to pray that they be uplifted and infilled by God's Holy Spirit. I would like you to pray for the leadership of this church and our families, because we come under the same attack. And we need you guys praying for us. I'd like you to pray for everybody who does something in this church, leader or not. I really love my cup of tea. I love the fact that we've got toilet roll in the toilets. I love the fact that the flowers are here. People do all of these things, and so I would like you to thank God for those people. I'd like you to pray that this church will have enough resources, whether that's money, time is a resource we forget that we need, money, time and people. And a couple of other prompts are mission and discipleship. Just pray around those areas. And again, I'd really like you to ask God to speak to you if there's an encouragement or a word or an idea that he has. Ask him to speak to you, and then don't keep it to yourself. Come and share it with one of us at the front, please. Go. And again, I'd really like you to carry on these prayers through the week. Please don't just pray for 5 minutes on a Sunday morning. So lastly, we're going to think about all of God's children. We are God's children, but everyone in the world is created in the image of God and beloved of Him. So again, in your groups, I'd like you to pray for, not all of these, we haven't got time, Trevor wouldn't give me a whole hour for prayers, he's mean like that. I'd like you to think and pray for one or two of these groups of people. For people who are unwell physically. For people who are suffering with poor mental health. For people who are lonely. I know that that's particularly on Moira's heart at the moment, so if you're in Moira's group, I'd really like you to put some prayer into that. For people who have an addiction, for people who live in poverty, those who are hungry, those who are homeless, those who need clothes, Jesus told us to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit those in prison. And lastly, I'd like you to pray for people who live in fear. God will tell you what to pray for these people. I'm not going to do that. I did warn you, you're doing the work this morning. So off you go. So at the moment, I'm busy showing Zoe how to pray. Now, she can only pray short prayers. And what have I just told you, Zoe? That God knows what's in her heart and she doesn't need 500 words. So I think I'm probably up against my time limit now, but I'm just going to ask, is there anything either that came up in your prayer groups that you would like to share, or that you think as a church this morning you would like us to pray for, and we will pray for it? Raise a hand, stand up, say cooey. Yes, Sue.
As you all know, Hayden has been very, very, very ill over the summer. But I just want to thank all this church for the prayers that have been said for Hayden and myself. Believe me, we have felt those prayers. We have felt the strength of the Lord. And I just want to say that through those prayers, we have seen so much care from the hospice, from the National Health Service, from the hospital, and it still continues. God sometimes doesn't just answer financially, but he answers in the care and the love, not just of the church, but outside, in the community, in the hospice, in the hospital, and it continues to pour out on Hayden. And I just want to thank you, because that's your prayers. That's your prayers being answered. And I just want to say, and we haven't been able to say thank you to Trevor and all the help, the concern, the support that he gave both Hayden and I during that very, very... We nearly lost Hayden. He did actually stop breathing in hospital. And they had to resuscitate him. But Lord, I want to thank you for his prayers, his love, his coming to see us at home, coming to see us especially when our son was there, Stuart, from New Zealand. He came back to be with his father and I at that time. And we were all three sat in the conservatory praying for Hayden and for many other things. And our son was in the kitchen making the tea. And when Trevor went, he said, "My goodness, that was a long list you gave to him." And he was referring to all the prayers that we had made. And I think that above all was a testimony to the fact that Christian love and Christian prayers really do get answered. And so I want to say thank you to Trevor especially for all his love and concern for Hayden and for myself. And I think we've learned so much through that. Thank you, Trevor, and for Lois too.
Thank you, Sue. Anybody else? Oh, Moira. I'm really sorry, Trevor. Last one, I promise.
Just a quick one. Sue, my friend, hasn't been to church for a while. And she came in today, and I was there early, and we started talking. And it turns out she's my neighbour, and I didn't know. So now she's got to live to church every week, hasn't she?
There we go. I knew there was a reason I was doing it this way this morning. So we're just going to round off with a really quick, like, 10-second prayer. Trevor's given up on me by now. Loving Lord, we do praise and we thank you for all of the gifts that you give us. From the breath in our lungs, from the material blessings that you give us, for our friends, for the gifts that we can use in your service, and most amazingly, that you poured out your love, even sending your Son to die for us so that we can be reconciled to you. Amen.
You will see from the clock that we are a little bit behind schedule, but actually, if you need to go, then please feel free to go. But we're going to stay in God's presence and just loving what he's given to us. And part of what he's given to us is us as family. And as we were praying, I was just reminded of that scripture that in Hebrews, that Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. And the joy that was set before him is you. Because he loves you. And if you have to go, then we understand, but we would encourage you to stay as we share the peace with one another, and then we'll share communion together as part of the family, because Jesus gave his life for us and he just wants us to be one, to be united around his table and to share his food. So if you're able, would you stand? Once we were far off, but now we, through the shedding of Christ's blood, have been brought near and given life in all its fullness, including the peace of God, which passes all understanding. So may the peace of the Lord be always with you. So briefly, let us share with one another a sign of his peace. And so may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down upon you now, remain with you this day and always. Amen. So go in peace to love and to serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.